Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
Fans, Knicks fan forum post game. Knicks lose to the Chicago Bulls 104-80, 929-477-4171. You can press the number one button on your touchtone phone if you want to be live on the air for any questions and comments. You can also follow the show on Twitter at the Bleed Blue Show. Knickerbocker, what's going on, baby? How you doing, man?
I was doing okay. You know, when we were all getting hyped and we were all watching the videos and we were all like, you know, talking our smack, but then, like, the second half started and something happened where Chicago just came out and they proved why they're considered one of the two top teams in the Eastern Conference because they smacked us in the mouth tonight. I mean, 104-80. At one point, they were up by 27 or so, and I don't know, man. I mean, We can go in on the Knicks on what they did wrong, but you know you gotta tip your hat off to the Chicago Bulls, Coach Thibodeau, Derrick Rose, Pau Gasol. Taj Gibson had a pretty good night, 22 points and like 8 rebounds. I mean, when you got guys, you know, all on the floor, you know, hitting on all cylinders, there's nothing you can do about it, really. You know, just tip your hat onto them. But 104-80, that's a really bad performance, a really bad look for the Knicks.
Yeah, Taj Gibson was a man tonight. He was a grown man tonight in that paint. Did whatever, whenever he wanted. Very efficient. I also thought, you know, when you think the Knicks get blown out tonight, you would think, okay, Rose went off, you know. But, you know, Rose didn't even have to play that much. That's how bad the game was. It was out of hand, you know, and, you know, midway through the game, about halftime, a little after halftime, just got, you know, out of proportion, man. The Knicks started settling for jump shots. It was all jumpers at one point. And, you know, the Knicks got smoked at the Garden, man. The Garden was quiet little before halftime. They were out of it. The crowd was just like, you know what, man, we're just going to just, you know, first game of the season, we're going to just eat this loss. And it was just disappointing all around, man. Just real disappointing. I got a lot to say, you know, when callers call on it, you know, when they call in, you know, we're going to share thoughts, opinions. I mean, it's one down, 81 to go, but, you know, when you lose by, you know, what, 24, but it seemed like it was by 40, not a good thing, Knickerbocker Ave. So what are the things you, you know, disliked about the game tonight, man?
I mean, to commend, I mean, I'm going to continue to commend the Chicago Bulls right now. I mean, they shot 51% from the field. You know, Gibson had his way pretty much, you know, coming off the bench. Their bench play, I mean, once Coach Thibodeau took out his starters and put in his bench, the game was locked. And it was just crazy how, you know, how that happened. But, I mean, the Knicks had, you know, they kind of veered away from the basic principles of the triangle offense, which is the ball movement and the spacing, but also their defense. I mean, everyone keeps on talking about the triangle offense. How about get some square or regular defense? Because we didn't see almost any of it midway of the second quarter when the Bulls went on like an 8 or 9-0 run and took the lead, and it was like, okay, well, they just mailed it in from there. Melo only had only had 14 points. You know, he didn't play. Amari Stoudemire started the game pretty well, and then he became absentee. But I understand we have a caller from the 917. Caller from the 917. State your name. Where are you calling from?
917. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Bleed Blue Swallow. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? How you doing? Hello.
All right, man. All right.
Hey. Game one, man. Hello. The floor is yours, my man. The floor is yours.
Actually, I'm not. I'm disappointed, but I'm not too disappointed. And the reason why is sometimes it's funny. You have to almost try to pick it. I tend to think it's better if you start off bad than start off real good and then end up bad, if that makes any sense. And, you know, the NBA knew what they were doing. They put us up against two of the best supposed teams in the NBA. You know, I'm not sure if that was purposely done or they're trying to embarrass us or whatever, but, you know, this was done. But, you know, this is something that we have to learn from. The only two things that, well, there's many things, but two things that really stand out to me, and this is even going from the end of the last few preseason games, Calderon's decision-making and leadership is missing. You know, you got Shane Larkin out there who really didn't play that much last year, and he's starting, you know, for the Knicks. And, you know, he still needs to, you know, get his stuff going on. And I think it would have been a better matchup if Shane coming off the bench and, you know, especially against Brooks, because Brooks was toasting us when he came in. You know, that was the beginning of the end. And also, it's funny. We came into the season saying how good we have our three shooting guards. And J.R., Shump, and Hardaway Jr. have contributed nothing on either side of the floor. They've been horrible. And this is going back to, again, the last few games of the preseason. You know, for those three guys not to give us anything, that's unacceptable, especially that Tim Hardaway just got this contract. But one of them, I'm not saying all of them have to be spectacular, but one of them should be having some sort of impact on this game, and they're not doing it. And that's very disappointing. And, of course, with the defense, too. But, you know, you got to think with the Knicks, if you look at it, it almost looks like Melo got traded. You know, there's so many new people on this roster, and they're learning a new offense, a new defensive scheme. It's going to take them a while, but I have a feeling they're going to still get it together, though. I'm not as depressed as I normally would be, but, you know, this isn't, you know, Woodson's Knicks anymore. I just feel that they are going to right the ship eventually, and they're going to get it together. And, you know, and you got to think, too, even Shaquille O'Neal said that. When they first started using the triangle, they were below 500 when they first got together, you know, trying to do it when Phil got to L.A., so, you know, it's going to take time. So we just have to be a little patient.
Knickerbocker, you want to expand on that?
I mean, he's absolutely right. I mean, it's going to take some time, but there are just simple little things that you normally see in a basketball game, even though you're learning a new system, because the system has nothing to do with how they play defense or how much energy they contribute towards the defensive scheme of any kind. They didn't really do that in the first quarter. They were attacking the ball handler. They were cleaning up the glass. They were protecting the rim. You know, Derrick Rose had a hard time penetrating, and Dallenberg was challenging almost every shot that came up to him. You know, so was Stoudemire. But then after the first quarter, it was nothing. I mean, once you took out Dallenberg out and Stoudemire sat down, and of course when Melo sat down, you know, Chicago just pretty much ran roughshod on every single aspect of the ball, from three-point shooting to interior play to points on the paint to fast break points to second chance points. It was just a complete massacre on all sides of the ball. And then on top of that, you know, they're already one of the top defensive teams in the NBA. They've showed it why. They're limiting the Knicks to 80 points, and that's pretty much 80 mercy points at some point, because they were like, let's let them save face at home. And that's what it felt like. Of course, this is only just one game out of 82, but it's already looking, you know, it's already a bad look, you know, getting decimated at home in front of your ruckus home crowd. And then you got to go get on a plane tonight and fly up to Cleveland and take on
a big party.
And going to Quicken Loans Arena, who's going to be opening up because they're the debut of LeBron in Cleveland.
Yeah. The ESPN savior. But you know, also just I want to also take into consideration that they said the Bulls bench has been good. It's been beating their starters during practice games. Their bench has been that good, and their bench just wrote the ship. I mean, you guys don't like a Taj Gibson coming off your bench and just doing what he was doing, but it's still, to, you know, go on about what you said, though, you know, to make the extra point, there's no excuse for giving up. And it looks like the Knicks kind of gave it up after that first surge by the Bulls. You know, that shows, that didn't show good character. Because, you know, again, it's not so much what type of offense you're learning or what type of defense you're supposed to learn as a team. Don't just give up like that. You know, you have to still be engaged. You have to still try to fight and just don't give up. And to me, it seems like the Knicks gave up too early. It's like, oh, man, this isn't working. This is bad. You know, they started doing old stuff again. They weren't trying to get themselves back in the game. And Fish is a little bit like Phil. Because Phil, sometimes he wants to see you get yourself out of situation. Don't always look to me to bail you out. Try to figure it out on your own, because that builds character. And the Knicks are going to have to learn that. Don't just give up like that. I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, I'm agree with you on that one, Marlo, because I see they did quit. The game was lost right there, you know, early third quarter. But the Knickerbockers, you know, I felt that even early before that, even, you know, before halftime, we could have went, you know, into the half down six, and it was a 4-point swing when Melo got stripped, and they came back and Gasol made the buzzer beater at half, so that, you know, the Bulls went up plus 10 at halftime. Even before that, the Bulls wear their whole aura on the Knicks bench. That's where the game was lost, in my opinion. The Bulls bench outplayed the Knicks bench, and that was the difference in the game, because the Knicks started, you know, when they were in there, they were plus six, you know, before the benches came in. Taj Gibson was a man tonight. Aaron Brooks did anything, whatever he wanted to do to Prigioni. And this is what I got to say about Prigioni. I don't know where a lot of Knicks fans, they love Prigioni. Priggy Smalls, I get that. Yo, he's got to go. He can't play anymore, man. He can't stay in front of Aaron Brooks. That's bad, man. So when Calderon gets back healthy, you know, it's going to be between Calderon and Shane Larkin, because I think Shane Larkin could play in this league. I think he showed a little something in that first quarter, but we can't run with Prigioni no more, man. Not defensively. He's too slow. He's too old, man. It's just that what it is with him right now, man.
But see, again, that goes back a little bit with what I was saying with Calderon, you know, unfortunately with his injury, because if he would have played, Shane Larkin would have been up against Brooks, and that would have been speed on speed, you know. And I'm not saying that, you know, Larkin is this big-time defender, but he could at least try to stay in front of this guy. And that could have helped us, you know. Possibility.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that end. Just how Aaron Brooks was able to basically just do one little shimmy move, and he was able to shake Prigioni off just about every single time he had the ball, and you know, hit the open man. And you know, what more can we say about Taj Gibson? I mean, but you know, Aaron Brooks, once he came into the game, and once, you know, Gibson came into the game was pretty much locked.
Yeah.
On both ends of the floor, because defensively they're just that good. I mean, Noah didn't, you know, he didn't do anything special. Gasol, you know, he puts in his numbers just like he always does, and luckily it's only one game.
But again, too, guys, you know, you got to think that the Bulls, besides those few guys who came off the bench, and Paul Gasol, and even though Derrick Rose hasn't played like really the last two seasons, they still kind of know each other. You know what I mean? And again, I'm not making excuses, but the Knicks got like a almost a whole new roster. So, you know, they don't have that good familiarity of where someone's going to be, where someone likes their shots, where someone's going to do whatever. Because, I mean, this is a big change. Because I'm telling you, if you look from last year's Knicks roster to this, you'd almost think Melo was traded. And I hate mentioning these two guys, but I'll just say it as a side note. If Melo did go to the Bulls, damn. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If he would have went to this Bulls team, the whole I mean, forget the NBA. You might as well just hand them the trophy now for the way they played today, because they would have killed it. But, I'm still glad he's a Knick, but it would have been scary if he would have gone there. And plus, too, you know, Melo's not going to score 14 points again.
That was a really underrated performance by Dunleavy on Melo tonight. You know, I don't know if Melo was trying to be gun shy. You know, I've seen Melo. We've all seen Melo be a lot more aggressive. I thought he was a little gun shy tonight, man. You know, I think he was trying to get a lot of cats, you know, a lot of the teammates involved in the offense. What you guys thought about Melo tonight, man?
Melo, to me, looked like he I mean, Marlo said it best. He looked like, you know, he was traded to a brand new team, and basically he was. He looked uncomfortable. He looked, you know, the good thing about it was he wasn't taking up, you know, he wasn't chucking like these crazy shots. He wasn't looking for his own shot at the same time. But at the same, I mean, it's just, I mean, he didn't shoot that bad, but I think he was, you know, he was still trying to implement that triangle offense. He was probably one of the few guys that really were. I think him and Stoudemire, you know, for once started to show that they can play together.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, once that Chicago bench came on the floor,
and again,
Steve alluded to it right now, Dunleavy did do a very good job defending Melo, and then there were times where Gibson was on Melo, and there was nothing that Melo could do other than, you know, his transition three where he's absolutely lethal on. But, you know, the Knicks did also, you know, they didn't shoot the ball very well. They only shot 37%, you know, for the entire game. And Chicago just ate that up, you know, attributed that to their defense and to the fact that, you know, a lot of the, you know, the young guys are still, chucking up shots when, you know, and taking up so much time on the shot clock. I mean, how many shot clock violations did we have today? I mean, there was at least, you know, a good six or seven of them, and it was just pretty bad. What do you guys think?
Well, see, I'm not going to give Dunleavy that much credit on his defense. It's just the same glaring problem, which frustrates me to no end. When Melo always has to be on, and that's why I get so angry that he's so disrespected by the NBA. Oh, well, excuse me, like stupid shows, like certain sports shows in the NBA, period. Melo always has to be on his A game. The man can't have an off game. He can't have whatever. And if he does, and he's trying to get his people involved, they're not there. I'm not sure what happened with Stoudemire, because I must admit I was kind of like losing interest. I will admit that when the third quarter started. But it's like I'm not sure if they went away from Stat. I don't know why. If they did, they should have tried to still do something with him. And then again, our guards, you know, Melo does not have that consistent two. You know, like Derrick Rose, he didn't have the greatest game, but Paul Gasol and Gibson, they filled it up for him. You know, it's like, I got your back. You know, I'll handle this. I got this. And same thing when it comes to even, like, when you look at OKC, you know, I mean, there's always a two that could try to pick up the slack when the man is not, you know, might not have it or might be a little off, and you know, Melo just hasn't gotten that yet, and that's what kills me more than anything else. You know, he does what he can with how he can work, and when these guys, especially our three useless shooting guards who we have right now, are not shooting any buckets, the Bulls can concentrate their defense mostly on Melo and keep everybody else's jump shooters like they were doing, and that reduces his time. You know, it's like, when is that time going to come? I'm hoping that this next season will happen. They'll get Gasol and somebody else. But it's really frustrating, again, how Melo does not have that consistent two who can say, I got this. Or, you know what, we could bring this out. We can do this. I mean, look at this. Shumpert, 5 points, one assist. JR, I don't know what he was doing. He still looks lost. Why, I don't know. And Tim Hardaway Jr. hasn't been able to hit anything lately. So where's this person supposed to be standing up and like, yo, you know, Mel, I got your back, man. We got this. He still doesn't have it.
That makes all the sense in the world.
I'm sorry. But see, this is another reason why I'm saying we kind of miss Jose Calderon. Because Calderon could do things offensively. He could shoot that ball. I'm not saying he's like a superstar X2, but Calderon could have given them some offense, you know.
I agree with almost everything he said. The one thing I would have said is that, and I mean, credit to former Knicks head coach Jeff Van Gundy, who was calling the game for ESPN today. The triangle offense can only – one of the key things that that offense requires is somebody in the post. And when Melo is out in the wing, they need somebody down low, you know, who can put, you know, who can create that post presence. And in the first like five to seven minutes, Amari was that. I mean, Amari was that. And why is it that you know, the ball never got back to Amari once he came back on the floor? It was like, it's like they, you know, they were just chucking up shots again, and they were just letting the Bulls abuse them. I mean, given Amari is not going to be the greatest guy on defense, but at the same time, utilize his talent. His talent is putting the ball in the hole. Why didn't you go back to him? You know, if Melo is having, you know, a tough time on defense, if you create enough of the diversion, because Amari Stoudemire is just scoring the ball tremendously, eventually you won't have to pay attention to Melo. You have to pay attention to Amari. That, of course, then in turn, open up Melo, you know, for him to, you know, to play his game the way he knows how to play. On the wing, you know, in the pinch post, you know, because the triangle has, you know, has one of those plays, and he can also then turn around and, you know, hit an open three if need be. The Knicks did not execute very well by not noticing where the, you know, where the money was coming from. And tonight, to me, it was coming from Amari, it was coming from Melo, and they just stayed away from that, and they just let the Bulls just walk all over them.
Yeah, so I'll bring another call, 929-477-4171. Let's bring in Ron. Ron, man, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing terrible. How you guys doing?
Uh-oh.
I feel you, Ron. I know it's coming. It's coming, Ron. It's coming, Ron.
You know, we just wilted. I mean, you know, guys, teams are going to make runs. And this is why I'm so pissed off, because you said it, man. The first 3 minutes of the game, we're flowing. Amari's doing his thing. We're getting steals. We're feeling good. We're moving without the ball. I mean, guys make runs at these guys all the time. Well, you're going to wilt? After, I mean, you're down 8 points and you're going to wilt just like that? Oh, so what? The bench was terrible. We know that happens sometimes. Why? But you're not going to fight after that? I mean, guys, I was so disappointed. I mean, where are the guys? Why are we're giving in on our home floor? What are we going to do on the road?
Exactly. Why give up like that so quickly?
I'm so disgusted. I mean, these are guys. I mean, J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert, I would trade for Kobe Bryant. I mean, because
thank
I know
you.
At least Kobe Bryant can play in the triangle.
I would consider that. I would, you know, I thought about that last time when we watched the Rockets. I would consider
that. They're just horrible.
They don't know how to play in the triangle. And granted, it's very early. It's only one game, and that is unfair. But I will say this. I know Kobe right now. I know he's old, and I know he's probably broken down, and I know his contract. But I'll tell you what. If he plays in this game tonight, I guarantee you we don't lose by 33.
You don't think Derek and Phil is thinking that in the back of their minds about what happened last night with the Houston and Laker game last night, and how they got blown out on their home floor, knowing that their season pretty much is toast in the Western Conference? Like, hey, you know what? I may just give a call to Jenny Buss, you know?
Hey, babe,
what you want from
the mom? I need a favor real quick.
I mean, it's definitely possible. I was upset the way we got beat up. I was just mad. Like, it's okay to lose. I mean, and I was disappointed because, like you said, I mean, the first 3 minutes of the game, I felt really good. I mean, we were doing some really good things. We were getting steals. Just to get beat up like that and not at least we didn't have any runs tonight, guys. And in the last three quarters of the game, we didn't go on a run ourselves. We really didn't. And it's just we didn't get into the offense quick enough. The transition defense is terrible, and that's something that they said they were going to be better on this season. Nobody was getting back.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Marlon, what do you want to pick up what Ron said about the transition defense, man? He's right. I agree with him. What's your thoughts about that?
Transition defense? Let's just talk about defense, period. Well, you know, the transition defense was bad, and just the defense all in all, you know, they still got, like, a lot of work to do. And, you know, it's just like what they said, what Derek was saying. I know they're not the greatest individual. They got to play better team defense. And, you know, defense is a lot of guts and a lot of hustle. And they just didn't show that. I'm just really surprised that they just gave up as quickly as they did. Because it seems like, again, right after the bench came in and they took over the lead, it's like the next place, we packed it in. And I'm like, whoa, it's like this is still the second half. don't just pack it in like that. You know, you could tell from that whole body language just wasn't good after that. You know, you gotta try to work out of problems like that and try to put yourself back into it. And you know, it was just pretty bad. But then again, too, they don't have anybody who can give them that
score. Phil Jackson was just asked a quote, asked on the way to his car about tonight's performance. If you follow Chris Herring on Twitter, Phil Jackson was asked on the way to his car about tonight's performance, and I quote, "Not ready for showtime, huh?"
They're not.
A mouthful, man. Angel, Knickerbocker F, transition defense, or lack thereof?
I'm going to just go and say whatever Marl just said. What defense? Can we get just plain defense, and then we work on the transition thing? These guys were flat-footed. It's the first game of the preseason when we got blown up by Boston. Guys were looking down at their feet. They were worried about spacing, but they weren't worried about moving the ball. When it came back to the defense, they were even more confused because they were missing assignments. They were letting their guys fly by. And then, of course, they're getting abused down low because Gasol and Gibson pretty much did whatever they wanted in terms of just getting rebounds and whatnot. It was just, when it comes to like transition defense, your best asset is your speed and your alertness. The Knicks showed none of that. They were just completely lost on every aspect because they couldn't figure out the spacing of the triangle offense. Therefore, their defense suffered as well. And the Bulls destroyed it.
They have a lot of shooters, man. What really bothers me is because, you know, Taj Gibson, I mean, the moment he came into the game, he was just muscling through Quincy Acey and Jason Smith. But Taj Gibson is one thing, okay? We know he could play. That's one thing. But, yo, Paul Gasol was muscling the Knicks, too. That really bothers me, man. Did y'all not see how Paul Gasol did whatever he wanted every time he went to the hole? I mean, yeah. Paul Gasol is kind of, his reputation is kind of known as some sort of a finesse player, kind of a softie, but he was getting more physical than Amari, Dallenberg, Quincy Acey, Jason Smith. I know that kind of bothered all you guys. What about, what's y'all thoughts about that, man?
It definitely bothered me because we alluded back to the first 3 to 5 minutes. Gasol looked a little bit, you know, flustered. He seemed to getting annoyed because, you know, the defense that Dallenberg and Amari were giving him. And then, of course, you know, the few minutes that AC, you know, was sticking him and he couldn't do anything. But then after that, once Gasol, you know, found his groove and noticed that the hole was wide open for him, he just abused. Basically, he raped the Knicks internally right there. It was just on pure display. He just did whatever he wanted. Gibson did whatever he wanted. Noah didn't do anything, but if he was there, he would have gotten. Hell, we could have gone in there and we could have done whatever we wanted because there was no transition defense. There was no interior defense. There was nothing.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sad.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that, and but you got to think too. Paul Gasol is, you know, he's a skilled big man, and you got that also with Noah. I mean, they really have a good combo like that, and as good as Dallenberg. Because you know, I kind of laughable. Yes, okay, defensively, Tyson Chandler might be better than Dallenberg, but Dallenberg is a great passer, and at least he has a jump shot. I mean, God forbid Tyson tried to shoot or pass. You know, he didn't do any of that. It's just all lobs and blocks. You know what I mean? But at least, you know, Dallenberg tries that. And we know that stat is not, that's not his thing, defense, unfortunately.
Yep.
So when you got someone like Gasol, who's as versatile as he is for his size, to be 7 feet, and you got Noah, you know, who has his back, you know, that's difficult. And, you know, I must put some on Jason Smith, too. He was doing pretty well in the preseason. It was like he, you know, he did a few shots here and there, but then that was it. You know, where's his defensive presence and his defensive know-how and this, that, and the other? It's like all of a sudden that was gone too, which helped Gasol just to walk all over us during this game.
Yo, Angel.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to be in New York City tomorrow night.
Really?
Are you guys going to Anthony Donahue's viewing party?
Yeah, I'm going. I was wondering if you were going to be there, so I'll see you there, Ron.
Yeah, John Starks is going to be in the house. I think a few other Knicks players might be there. Supposedly it's going to be pretty fun. I'm coming up for the weekend. I always come to New York once in the fall semester, so I'm coming up for the party tomorrow night to watch the game. You guys should come.
I'll try to make it. I was just in New York over the weekend, so it all depends. But, man.
It's all good.
Hey, guys, without further ado, let's bring in the godfather of the Knicks fan base. He is also the co-host of this platform, Christopher. What's going on, man?
Oh, man.
He starts off, oh, man.
He didn't even want to call today, so he was like, fuck it, I'm going to mail it in.
I watched our season opener on, what is that, on SportsCenter? What's that called? On ESPN. And good evening, gentlemen, by the way.
Good evening.
And it's funny, I watched it for free, but I feel like I need a refund, man. You know? I feel like somebody robbed me, bro. Something happened. Why do we even have this forum? You know, what the fuck? What was that? I missed it. I watched four quarters of what? What the fuck was that? What happened here? I got beat down, bro. I got robbed. I got bamboozled. My shit. That's not what I expected. You know, look, after what I would say, the 8-10 mark of the first quarter, man, the game was gone, man, from us, man. We lost. You know? The Knicks are not mentally there, man. Fuck all this. Fuck the fact that we got out hustled and beat down and out and I don't know what the hell that was, man. If I was a cartoon, I'd have a big ass smile over my head right now with a question mark. You know? There is nothing positive I could come away with that I could speak about that the Knicks did tonight, man.
I thought Larkin was good.
Say that? Oh, okay. I digress. And Larkin and actually Stott initially did not look that bad to me.
Yeah.
You know? Down there showed that he has a little bit of grit. He's a bit slow. He's a better shooter than Tyson Chandler, but that's not what we hired him for. You know, I tell you, gentlemen, I really do not have an answer for what the hell happened. Let me tell you something. If I was to be employed as a soothsayer for the New York Knickerbockers franchise, I would have got fired after the first game. That was awful, man. That was a disgrace. And I have really nothing to say. I'm so damn stunned considering what we had anticipated during the preseason and offseason, what we thought about throughout the draft. What we thought about with the hiring of the front office, all of that shit leads up to tonight. I'm figuring, okay, we should at least debut with some kind of. It doesn't matter whether we won or not. At least give the kind of effort that will prove you to us, as to our fans, that hey, you know, there's a positive chance of us really making a crackling noise in the Eastern Conference this year. And I know this was only the first game, but hey, if this is any indication, this is going to be a long ass, drawn out season, dude. That was horrendous. I can't even. And I won't say the goddamn thing.
Wow. Guys, really quick on a side note, non-Knicks related, we are going to the ninth inning in Game 7 of the World Series with the San Francisco Giants. Leading the Kansas City Royals 3-2. It seems to be a pretty good game here. It's more interesting than the Knick game that we just watched. So I kind of feel bad that I'm missing most of it. But just a quick side note on that one. Back to the Knicks forum.
I have a question for all you guys about the Knicks. And you guys hear me say this all summer on all the shows. And I said he was a baby goon, but we need a goon, y'all. Where is our goon? Where is the goon?
He's playing another team right now.
We can't be getting muscled in by Paul Gasol, dog. We can't.
Metta World Peace was watching the game tonight.
Yeah, you know, I still think about that. They should have, I think, considered either Metta or Kenyon Martin. I know Kenyon Martin is foul prone. I mean, is injury prone, but, you know, his passing is good, or at least Metta. You know, someone else that gives him a little bit of that grit. And I'm surprised Phil didn't consider him,
now,
to be honest with you.
Now, on that theory alone, though, if you sign Kenyon Martin or Ron Artest, who do you get rid of on this team? Because
Travis Ware.
Wow. You know, after we just, you know, we got rid of Travis Outlaw just to get him.
He ain't impact his dad yet.
I mean, who else? If it's not Ware, then who else is it? Who else is it? Travis Outlaw, I mean, you know, you want to get rid of that contract anyway. I mean, I can understand that part on the business side, but where, you know? I mean, who? If it's not where, then who is it?
Aldridge?
Cole Aldridge, huh?
Well, Aldridge has potential because he played.
He can't play offense worth a damn, dude. Come on now.
Yeah, well, I'm just
he's as clumsy as hell. I mean, I would rather get rid of Bargnani, but we can't because of his contract.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I would love that. He's spending
let me,
most
let
his
me
time
ask you guys
team.
A question. I need to ask you guys a question. We talked about Kobe. Where is Allen up to these days?
He ain't coming to New York. I wish.
Ray Allen?
No, I can't
see. Ray Allen? Yeah. He
No. Not Ray Allen. Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson is like
fighting debt. I don't know, man. Like, last time I heard him
in the
news.
Do you think he would require a big contract?
No.
I don't think that.
Let me ask this: do you think tonight, if Allen Iverson was in a Knicks uniform, do you think he would have dove on the floor for loose balls?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Do you think Allen Iverson would have done anything in this game that would have made a difference?
Not much.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Hey, Chris,
I
got a question
for
you
now.
If you had Allen Iverson in the triangle versus J.R. Smith, who would you take?
Allen Iverson now or Allen Iverson 20 years ago?
No, Allen Iverson now.
I would rather go with J.R. Smith.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, fine. Fair enough.
Okay. No, but Ron, you're on to something about this Kobe situation. Chris, did you hear his thoughts as far as Kobe?
Yeah, because Stephen A. was talking about that too. About he would love for him to finish his career with Knicks.
No, Stephen A. did. I told Stephen A. about that. That was me.
Okay.
Don't give Stephen A. the credit. I mean, Stephen A. stole that from me.
Mm-hmm.
See, Miles, okay. You still there?
I'm in the morning. Yeah, I'm wearing black. Yeah.
Wow.
Kobe.
But then again, guys, you know, Kobe's contract is too big for these next 2 years. You know, that cut into a lot
of
stuff.
But the salary cap is going to go up, though. The salary cap is going to go up exponentially next year, considering the new TV deal.
What better number two option is better than somebody who's played in the offense than that guy? Who still has, to me, the fight. To want to be, he has the intangibles, that killer, that, you know, as crazy as for me to say that, because I'm not even the biggest Kobe fan, but, I mean, we're talking 1972, 73?
Mm-hmm. True, but you're also talking about a guy who may not be willing to be a number two.
Yeah, but him and Melo are cool, though, with each other. They're friends.
He at one point, him and Dwight Howard were cool once, and yesterday he called him a bitch-ass nigga.
Hey, but I got a question.
But they're not. I don't think they were as close as Melo and them are. I mean, their wives are like best friends.
No, absolutely. But I'm just saying, at one point they were cool. Then they became teammates, and that was over.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
What are we gonna do the next fucking game?
The whole world is gonna be against us tomorrow. I'll tell you that right now.
I know we're gonna take an L tomorrow. I'm almost certain of it.
I just don't want it to be where we lose by another 20 or 30 point margin. I mean, if we can keep it at least to a respectable, you know, 10 and under, then at that point, what can you do? I mean, they are the Cleveland Cavaliers. They do have LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love. That is to be expected. But if we get decimated tomorrow to the degree that we did tonight, mm-hmm. then, you know, I mean, how does this team rebound from getting decimated two nights in a row, despite the fact that they are the two best teams in the Eastern Conference, considered by much and mostly on that network? But the fact is, for you to get decimated like that, it demoralizes you tremendously, and it makes you wonder, it's like, is there any hope for this team going in, you know, further into the season?
Oh, yeah, there'll be hope for them.
If they fall behind 0-2, right? Just concede to the fact that they're one of the four worst teams in the conference at this point. Just live with that. Just live with the fact that they're closer to Philadelphia and Milwaukee than they are Chicago and Cleveland. Just accept, you know.
Yeah, boys. I just want to say that I love you guys, and the fact that I'm speaking to you, it hurts right now. But guys, we just gotta have a short memory about this. I mean, that's the beautiful thing. Yeah. I mean, well, what if the Knicks? I mean, well, what if they come out and they do? So, I mean, we don't know. Well, we just gotta. We can't be crazy. No, I don't want anybody to get hurt or anything. Mm-hmm. Don't get in trouble. And guys, I'll give you a call tomorrow night.
All right, man, Ron. Thank you very much.
I love you guys. Thank you.
All right.
Love you, boss.
Ron, Super Knicks fan Ron on the line. So, man, we can come out tomorrow night and maybe steal one, but I know a lot of Knicks fans. Let me rationale with this, man, because I think the Chicago Bulls is a team that's more defensive-minded, more physical in the paint than the Cleveland Cavaliers. So on that note alone, I think the Knicks can play with the Cavaliers, if not steal one in Cleveland, because I think – the aura of the Bulls wore down the Knicks as the game went on and on and on. There was no room for the Knicks to make a run, and I think the Knicks can make a run against a Cleveland team who are not as familiar with their roster as the Chicago Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and me, you know, like I said, I'm not panicking right now, even if they do lose tomorrow, because, you know, let's at least wait 10 games. We got to see what these guys can do. And, you know, it's a long season, guys. You know, we got a long way to go, and there's a lot of fixing. We got to get healthy again with Calderon, and you know, we just got to see how things are going to go. I know today was disappointing, but again, you know, these guys have chemistry, these boys. You know, they know what Tibbs is about, and they know how their defense, they rest their hat on it. And then you got someone like Gibson coming off the bench. I mean, not too many people have stuff like that, so
mm-hmm.
it's just rough. You know, it's not like we played against Philly. I can't really say that about Philly right now, but anyway, it's not like we played up against like some bum teams. You know, these are some bum ass teams we're going up against. This is pretty rough to be your first test coming out the gate, and you know. I think the Knicks are more going to learn from it, because just like they said, they were embarrassed last year, the core, and they don't want to go through that again. So these men do have some pride, even though it seemed like they gave up. But it's going to be for them to make sure that they see what's in them and get that out of them. And I believe with Derek Fisher being their coach and Phil being the president, they're not going to let these boys just roll over. That's not going to happen.
Hey guys, really quick, a quick question. Has anybody seen this article? It was composed by a website called 538.com, where they released a projected win total for all the NBA teams. And of course, we focused on Knickerbocker Ave. We focused on the New York Knicks, and they projected that the New York Knicks will only win 31 games this season, ranking 13th in the Eastern Conference, being only better than the Milwaukee Bucks and the Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, they keep playing like they did tonight. That's going to be a reality. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. They quit, basically. It was like they had tired legs, and they didn't compete the last three quarters. They didn't compete. You know, when you start settling into those jump shot modes, you know, when your triangle don't work, that pretty much tells me that you guys have a little bit of quit in you. And that's what they did. Particularly, you can really see it changing in the second quarter when they started settling in the jump shots, and all of a sudden Taj Gibson and Paul Gasol start looking like freaking David Robinson to Tim Duncan, you know? That's when you saw a really big shift in, well, no, the philosophy that the Bulls had was fine. They stayed intact. In fact, you could almost argue that they damn near ran a triangle better than the Knicks did.
Sure.
They don't even run one, you know? Where we just stopped playing, man. You know, and I have a major, major problem with that. You know, they stopped playing ball. Even Melo did for a little bit. You know, that 24-point loss was kind of generous. You know, they just can't keep doing that. I'm just stuck on that, on the fact that their performance didn't translate, well, translated into something that we didn't expect. Mm-hmm. You know? And that was difficult to digest, man. It just...
Now, let me ask you guys, everybody on the line, barring injury because Kyle Dorn was out with the leg, is it better for Amari to come off the bench to give us a scoring spark, or are we going to keep him in the lineup with Melo and keep AC off, run AC off the bench? What did you guys thought as far as Amari starting? Did you guys agree with that? Disagree with that?
I liked Amari starting today. It actually worked. It worked for a few minutes, and if they and honestly, if the Knicks had just kept with that a little bit longer and ran the offense through him, since Melo was having a hard time defense, with Dunleavy on him, I don't see why you don't start him again, because your other alternative is to start either an AC or starting Andrea Bargnani whenever he gets back. At this point, me personally, I would rather have Bargnani gone the rest of the season, but that's just my one opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question, stats starting, is actually the way to go right now, because it actually worked for, to give us that offensive spark. And say what you will about him, he did do pretty okay, defensively, for the first few minutes, and then they pulled him, and then that was it. Game was over.
Mm-hmm.
And Marlo, what's your thoughts?
Well, that's kind of rough, because he did score well, but Stat did do well coming off the bench also, because the bench needed something, because which is a shame you have Hardaway Jr. and JR coming off the bench, and neither one of them, could do anything to help us out. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, that's what I'm saying. At least one of them should have been able to put the ball in the hole. And, if you have Stat going off the bench, he is that extra spark. But really, if you think about it, you can take it even a step further. If Stat didn't start, who knows? We could have been in the hole a lot earlier. So I think it is a good idea to have him start and give us that offense that we need, because and it's just that JR and Hardaway Jr. they got to find the basket, and they got to find it quick. Because if anything, triangle, no triangle, you guys got to put that basket in the hole. Y'all capable of doing it, and for whatever reason, for them both to be struggling at the same time, I think is really a cruel joke right now. Mm-hmm. I like Stat starting.
Yeah, I like Stat starting, too. In fact, everything Marlo said, I have to echo it, And you know what? If you really also noticed in the beginning that there was some newfound chemistry between Stat and Melo, too.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the ball at least four times between each other, resulting in, I don't know what the stat is. I would say about three assists for Melo, But you could feel that they have found themselves finally after these last 3 years, which is kind of an afterthought, man, because Stat really wasn't here. But I like him starting. I like the boost, the immediate boost that he gives you. As a matter of fact, he had it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
When he stepped out and when the subs for the Bulls came in, they're the ones who changed the whole complexion of the game, you know, not the starter. So, that kind of got lost. I mean, that fact kind of lost the obscured the fact that Stat really played his ass off at the beginning of the game by starting. So, I like where he's at. We have to get more production out of the bench, though, man. And that means energy. Not necessarily has to be scoring. I mean, AC came in and did some things, you know. Pat was okay for his little moment, his couple of moments there, you know. But there's got to be a concerted effort on energy now with this team, man. And they didn't have it, like, you know. And Stat starting helps the fact that it gives our team a chance from the outset to compete. And I kind of like the start.
What about you, Steve?
Man, that's a tough. I hear everybody saying Amari, but yo, we were lacking scoring so much in the that end of the first quarter and early second quarter, man. I think we needed a spark, man. I don't know, man. I'm on the fence, man. As good as he played, you know, I like that teamwork with Dallenberg and, you know, the bounce pass to Amari. He finished with the dunk. You know, I thought that the big man worked together well on the first unit, but that bench needs more help. I think we could get a spark with Amari off the bench, honestly, because we need it. Where are we going to get it if it's not going to be – who's going to play the post on the second unit?
But that was supposed to be Jason Smith.
Well, he was shooting jump shots though the whole time.
Yeah.
He's like Angel said. He's like a Brad Lowhouse type of guy. He's not gonna really go down there and bang with you.
Yeah, that's true.
That was kind of lacking.
Go ahead. Do we have anybody on this team that can play 35 minutes now?
Well,
that is on the front line.
No.
Oh, that's a good question. No.
I think the World Series is over, man.
Who won?
Giants.
The San Francisco Giants have won the World Series, third World Series championship in the last 5 years.
Oh, that's pretty good for them.
It's not a dynasty, but it's pretty close to it.
It's pretty good.
Why not? Why wouldn't you call that a dynasty?
Because
no back-to-backs.
No back-to-backs at all.
Got to have a back-to-back.
That's considered a dynasty?
It's a factor.
It has to be.
It's a factor.
How about a run? I mean, like, for instance, I don't remember the San Antonio Spurs having back-to-back.
I would have called them a dynasty.
They're not a dynasty either.
Why aren't they?
Yeah, but they won't.
They
ain't
no
back-to-back. I can't go with that, gentlemen.
I'm sorry. There has to be some form of back-to-back of some sort. The last dynasty in modern sports would be the closest one would be either the Patriots, the three out of the four Super Bowls, or the Yankees, four out of the five.
Oh, that's a dynasty right there.
That's clearly
a real dynasty.
Right
there, baby. That's a real dynasty. Yeah, I'm gonna throw some names at you guys for tomorrow night, and let me know how you think we will go up against them versus what you saw tonight. I'm gonna say Kevin Love. I'm gonna say Tristan Thompson. I'm gonna say Anderson Varejao, Brandon Hayward, Sean Marion. Does any of those guys scare you like what Taj Gibson brought to the table tonight?
Thompson kind of bothers me a little bit. Love, of course, is gonna be a threat. I think Varejao might be a problem as well, just because the Knicks do lack size or some efficiency with size. Those are the big ones, of course, besides, you know, Kyrie and LeBron. What are you guys?
Kyrie Irving will probably eat us up tomorrow night. Not initially, I'd say from late second quarter on. If we don't have any legs, if we don't find our shooting touch in the backcourt, I'm looking at Tim Hardaway Jr. when I say that, I see him having a field day with us. That's all. That's about it. And Tristan Thompson bothers me a little bit too, because I don't know which one's going to show up. You know, he's a very consistent guy, but when he's on, he's on. So that's me.
Marlon, what's your thoughts as far as the Cleveland front line tomorrow night?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was saying the same thing with Tristan Thomas. He's the one that kind of worries me. You know what you're going to get out of Love? You know, Love isn't the most. He's a good rebounder and shooter, but he's not the most athletic or defender. But, you know, they got to have someone to stick a hand in his face. And, you know, do I see Amari going out guarding him by the three, you know, by the three-point line where he's capable of shooting or trying to stop any of his insiders or at least blocking him out? Because the Knicks didn't do a good job of that either tonight. They didn't block anybody out, you know, really that much to try to get rebounds.
Agreed.
So, and, you know, so someone like Love, he could feast on that all game long. Oh, man, I just gave myself another headache.
wow. Breathe, dude, breathe.
Yeah, but I just feel that, you know, after what we saw today, it's hard to be objective about what we're going to see tomorrow because they just really, you know, they wet the bed today. And, you know, we expected a little bit more out of fighting them and then for them to go right, you know, next day into this whole Cleveland situation. It's just really hard to think about, you know, who might do damage because anybody has the possibility to do damage to this team the way they played tonight.
Now, I mean,
now, we all know that Carmelo logged in 29 minutes tonight. Knowing he's going to go up against Cleveland in their home opener, you know, versus LeBron James, you know how he gets down against LeBron. You don't think Carmelo may put up – I think I can see Melo going for, like, 38 tomorrow night, honestly.
I do, too.
And, you know, and I think I can see him abandoning the triangle to do that.
Mm-hmm. I honestly think that you're going to see that happen more and more throughout the season where they're going to abandon the triangle, and it actually might work. And then, of course, that's going to start the Knicks fandom going crazy, saying, oh, then maybe we should just not even try the triangle. Guys, understand this. It's given – it's won how many championships? It's
11.
Exactly. Let's not get too hasty.
But, you know, but don't forget, remember they said
playing your own game.
Yeah, but remember they said the triangle always needs someone to bail them out if it doesn't work.
Right.
So that's what
But you can't do it all game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something, you know, because I must admit, I get caught up in that. It's like, hey, they're not doing the triangle. They're not doing the triangle. What are they doing? But again, when things break down, you need the Mellos, the Kobe's, and the Jordans to bail you out.
Because
right. It's not going to work all the time.
Wow.
Maybe we
about
can't
got two, about 2 minutes out, man. Let's get some final thoughts on game one of the season. Mr. Marlowe, man, what's your final thoughts, man?
All right, well, just call me optimistic with my blue and orange goggles. It was just game one. We got to put it behind us. And I don't know. I just feel with Fish and with Phil, we're going to get this thing together, guys. We're going to right this ship, and we're going to be a respectable team this year. And then, you know, it was a bad game, but I'd rather start off bad than good sometimes because that – sometimes when you start off bad, it makes you something, be something more to fight for. So, but I see good things. I'm not ready to bail on them just as yet.
And Nigga Baca Ave, man, what you drinking right now, man? No, I'm just kidding. What's your thoughts?
Well, I'm drinking tequila and coke real quick. But what do I think? Personally, if you know any fans and you know any friends in Cleveland or any LeBron, you know, bandwagoners, be sure to block their number and avoid them on social media of all types, because tomorrow I believe we will lose. And at this point, a good loss or a bad loss is still going to be a loss, and we're still going to probably, you know, deal with it, and we're still going to be, you know, nitpicking it tomorrow night. And I don't want to abandon, abandon ship on the offense or the players or the season yet. But the fact is that I have a feeling we're going to see more games like this where we're going to get our asses handed to us, and we're going to look like we are completely lost. And then we're gonna hopefully we'll have some games where we're looking like okay, we look like Jordan's Bulls, we look like Kobe's Lakers, we're looking like a team that's willing to contend. I just hope that computer projection is wrong and that we do make the playoffs and we're respectable, so that way next year we're prepared to make big moves.
I see, Miles. We got 30 seconds, man. Be real quick, bro.
Okay, we're gonna lose tomorrow night. However, I'm not gonna pack it in yet either. There has to be with this personnel that we have, and also the front office personnel we have as well. It has to get better. So let's just call ourselves right now a 45 win team, and do some wishful thinking from there.
All right, man, that will be it for the Bleed Blue Show, post-game fan forum, iTunes, Podcast Republic. For the archive show, we'll be here tomorrow night, post-game show after the Cleveland Cavaliers. Bleed Blue, Bleed Blue, Bleed Blue.
Bleed Blue.
All right, Bleed Blue.